Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch can be heard every Tuesday here on Robinhood Radio, right around this time. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, just a lot of things. A true Renaissance man, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring him in this morning, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. What a compliment, my God.
Well, you grew up in the age, and I think I grew up in the tail end of the age, where we had a wide variety of things to be interested in, and most of it back then was either printed materials or face-to-face discussions with people. And I think that's what made people in the late 50s and early 60s multidimensional, because of the way we ingested information and the way that we talk with people. There was a lot more respect back then in between people.
I think that's extremely well said. I might begin calling you the young philosopher.
I don't know that. call me Yoda.
Yes.
So now,
I think you nailed it in terms of the relationship aspect of
dinner tables, Jim.
Of
didn't
experience.
You?
There was an experience that it was so visceral. It was so real.
Didn't you sit around the dinner table with your family and everybody, from the youngest children to the oldest adults, you talked about the news and what happened during the course of the day? I mean, that's what we used to do.
Yes, and with kids in the street playing stickball or whatever, there was something that was very much there was a reality there. I mean, it wasn't, mind-blowing, the reality, but it was a reality, an intimacy. Yeah. And that's really been dissipated by technology, as good as it is, and by saturation. All of this information coming in, which is, you just can't absorb it in a way that is fruitful. You can absorb it, but it's like, oh, I need this to go from square A to square B without much attachment or emotion. Anyhow, that was very well said. Very well said.
All right. Now, I saw your topic, but I have to lead off and I have to ask you a question. I'm 67, okay? I'm old enough to remember when I went out on my own and I had a car. I gas back then, when I first started driving, was anywhere from 35 to 46 cents a gallon. When I actually got my first job, it was 46 to 48 cents a gallon. And then, of course, the oil crisis came. But, Jim, what is going on right now with oil, where companies, there's so much oil, there's no place to store it really anymore. And by falling into the negative category, it means that oil producers would have to pay somebody to take the oil, Jim, you've been around longer than I have, but I'll tell you what, I've never seen anything like this. And I think this is a real stunning news story that has to be followed very closely, because it really portends to what's going to happen to the economy when we try to pull out of this coronavirus, a pandemic economy.
Well, it's interesting in the sense that it is probably a much more interesting and significant story than I think generally that people realize. Oil has been the commodity that has made countries. It's made Saudi Arabia and the Gulf countries. It's been primarily the main driver of revenues for Russia. It's been something that's been a bone of contention over the years. There's a whole political interplay here that I don't think the general public realizes. But let's get to why oil is selling for nothing, and actually people who have oil are basically putting it in storage and having people take it off their hands for a price. They're not getting the price. They're paying the price, have the oil stored. This was something that was the last several years, we should have seen this coming in the sense that not so much the pandemic, but the United States had always been dependent to a large degree on oil producers throughout the world, primarily the Gulf states, the Saudis, to a degree the Russians and others, because we were such a powerful nation with a lot of people needing oil for various things, be it utilities or automobiles and so forth. And so I think the world got lulled to sleep as the United States began finding a new source of oil on our shores, namely from fracking, a new way to get the oil out of the ground. People were asleep at the switch in terms of, well, what does this do to these, to the world's supply of oil and the demand for oil? Well, basically, we created much more oil in this country than we ever had had and made ourselves oil independent. We could stop on a dime and say, okay, we can go for weeks or months or a year without going to Saudi or Russia or so forth. The net result is when we went into basically what is a recession going, unfortunately, on to maybe something worse, people stopped driving. Utilities and others stopped using oil for whatever they were using it for in terms of power. And a surplus just arose, not just arose, but it exploded. It exploded because Russia relies on oil for its revenues to make the country go. The Saudis, to a large degree, their great wealth is built up on oil, as is Kuwait and other nations in the Gulf. So therefore, they kept pumping because that was their modus operandi. And in the process, they started developing this tremendous storage. Storage, you do store oil. You put it in barges or various and sundry places, hoping that another day the price comes back and you can sell it higher. Also in the process, you basically buy futures on oil, or namely to put it to somebody at a price. When oil was at 40, for instance, it's currently at 27 in the June month and zero in the May month, you would sell some futures against the oil so that you'd lock in a price. Well, that's dissipated now because the natural transaction of moving the oil eventually from storage, nobody wants it. So all of a sudden, that's why oil is at zero, because there's all kinds of oil throughout the world that you can just dial a phone and you can get all that you want. This portends a lower price, obviously, for a long time. But it portends changing very dramatically one specific aspect of world trade, which unfortunately has been artificially fixed for many, many years. Oil, in the beginning, when they discovered it over in Saudi or developed it, they were producing it for 50, 60 cents on the barrel and selling it, we'll say, for 10. Then the cost became 5 or 2. The point is, the Saudis can produce oil very cheaply, but they've been getting monstrous prices for it. That has been not just the pandemic, not just the recession. It's been overdue that the price of oil come down to a more realistic level now that there is more than ample supply. That's number one. And number two, the Russians and the Saudis got into a fight to try and manipulate the price by lowering the amount they would produce and put on the market. Net result, the Saudis got upset. The Russians got upset. They started throwing oil on the market. The net result is we're going to come back with a more normal price of oil because the emperor has no clothes. We now know what's going on. Oil has been subsidized for years and years by the Gulf countries, by OPEC, which basically determines the price and says, oh, we're only going to produce so much, or we're not going to produce this and that. That's all gone now because we in the United States have a surfeit of oil. We can basically accommodate our needs to a large degree. So people talk about the new normal. We're going to have a new normal price of oil, which is going to be much lower than it is right now, even in the June month. The June month is the price of oil in June, which is, I haven't looked this morning, but it's $27 last night. So I think there we go. But
what's interesting,
pepper me with some questions or whatever.
Yeah, what's interesting about what you're saying, and there's the backstory behind all of this. All these countries, the political upheaval that is potentially possible, Saudi Arabia can no longer, at this rate, provide what they've been providing. There's any country that makes its income on oil is going to have some problems on the domestic front because they can no longer count on that revenue to supply what they've been supplying. And that goes from Saudi Arabia, that goes to Iran, that goes to Russia, that goes to any country that has oil as their prominent export. Within the next couple of months, there could be some pretty amazing stories coming out of these different countries on how they're going to deal with their populations because their standard of living is going to be totally different while this whole thing is going on. And it could create the political morass in the world as it stands now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Saudi... Let's stay at Saudi for a minute. They have a government which is a monarchy, and they have a person in power now, or the guy who will inherit power, the prince, who is really become a very dictatorial figure, even though monarchy kind of equates to that. But in terms of Saudi Arabia, they're not used to a guy who begins to act a little bit like Hitler and kill his relatives and friends and so forth. I would say if this continues as it will, you could see an upheaval politically in Saudi Arabia, which would probably be good for the world in general and possibly for the citizenry, not necessarily all the people who are in the royal family. But I would see something like that happening. In Russia, as the oil goes down further, you will see an economic decline much greater than any other country because they rely solely on oil revenues. Really don't have any manufacturing. They don't have any product. They don't have very little science other than science dedicated to killing people, which people normally don't pay for. But it's going to affect all of the Gulf countries, some of whom have diversified a bit. And you could see, as you've said, the word is very appropriate, upheaval, major upheaval in that area of the world. Now, on the one hand, it helps us to a degree, but upheaval anywhere of a major consequence is a major consequence to us. It's the picture continues to become more uncertain and more troublesome throughout the world. But this is a product, as Nikki Baumgarten in the New Yorker, this April 20th, a great story on what's happened here in this country in terms of the pandemic is basically sending us into almost a depression, hopefully not. But we've been juicing this situation by doing a lot of things. Interest rates too low, corporations being able to borrow all kinds of money, even though they weren't that worthy. Keeping money flowing. All of this is a result of the 2008 crisis, which has set up this crisis, the economic crisis. We have too much debt. Now we have even more debt. But the big people, the speculators, the people with ins with the government, they just continue to take advantage of that. And while the 70% of the people are just, you know, working hard and not really getting very far in saving and in investing. And that's part of this crisis that we're going to go through economically. We're going to have to come out of this in some way. And I'm hopeful. I don't know if we will. But the natural solvent of this economic situation is we should come into greater equality in terms of our overall population in the United States. And that means people who can afford to live by living, eating well, being educated, having job opportunities, having clean air, having respect from people they work for, et cetera, et cetera. Does that happen right away? I doubt it. But, I mean, I think we're in that process. And oil, I think, is a great indicator of that possibly, hopefully, happening. Because if we don't become, shall we say, more equal or to a degree much more equal to each other, then that's something that could just blow this country up. You can't have people, the majority of people, working and not really getting much from it, and a certain amount of people working or not working and investing and taking advantage of the government's largesse. I wish I could equate it properly, but there was a thing called the French Revolution. And, you know, this thing has seeds of it. There are things happening elsewhere in the world right now where millions of people are beginning to come to realize they can't eat.
Right.
And they're beginning to rally in various parts of the world. I saw it as I came on, and I didn't have a chance to analyze it.
You've got stuff going on in Paris right now, but I want to. Can we just go back to the Middle East for one second?
About 2 minutes.
Okay, just briefly, and just for clues, if you're reading runes, how do you like the fact that after how many elections, Gantz and Netanyahu form this unity government? But I was going to ask you, Jim, if you saw on Face the Nation on Sunday. King Abdullah of Jordan, who everyone around here knows was educated here when he was a kid and went to boarding school here and he went to school in England, basically saying in no uncertain terms that game over, restructure has to, because these old orders and alliances, it was perfectly friendly, but it was he was the guy that was sent out to say, got to do a new show, folks.
Well, and I'll let you have the final comment here, Jim. But really, it is. It's going to be a whole new landscape for a variety of reasons. When the pandemic and because we're not talking about something that just affects now a country with what's happening with the world finances and with the pandemic, it is a worldwide thing. So there are major changes that'll come. You've got a minute and a half here, Jim, to wrap this up.
Well, you know that. This might be a wrap-up. I say that for a laugh because I'd rather laugh than cry.
Oh, don't cry. Don't cry. It's
what, funny?
I said don't cry. Don't cry. People need a little bit.
I shan't.
Okay.
I shan't cry.
All right.
Anyhow, I just want to say the human spirit, if you go within, you'll find you have the wherewithal to get through it, okay? But people have got to pay more attention, be more careful in their spending, and be much more careful in guiding themselves and their family into what is appropriate for them and for those who they deal with. We have to come together in this country if we're going to get it together and stop being juveniles running around, oh, I can't stay in the house because I might live. We have to become together. We were put on this earth for a reason, and it was a good reason. We've got to live life fully, lovingly, peacefully. So let's have a good week. We'll talk next week. Going to have a lot to talk about.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.